out. You're listening to the Saturday Afternoon Show. I am Tom Rowe, and I'm here live at Wave Farm in Acre, New York. And I think now I'm joined on via Skype here, by two artists, Ebru Kurbek and Irene Posh, who have worked on their knitted radio project, and they're going to tell us all about that. They've been working on it while in residency at iBeam, and we also have Roddy Schrock, the director of residences and programs at iBeam, on the Skype with us. Hello, are you all there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all here. Hello.
All right, that was everybody at once. Let's go around and get the listener starting to get used to your voice, because it's going to be four different voices and hard to tell us all apart. So everybody introduce themselves one by one.
Okay, hello. I'm Ebru. I'm one of the people who developed the knitted radio.
My name is Irene. I'm here with Ebru on a residency at iBeam in New York. And yeah.
You guys are, you're at iBeam right now?
Yes.
We're at iBeam right now, yeah.
And Roddy, where are you?
I'm in Greenpoint, Brooklyn at home. And I run the residencies and programs at iBeam, and had the pleasure of working with Ebru and Irene on this project.
And this project is going to lead to a discussion on Tuesday. You want to tell us about that first?
Yes, actually, we worked on the project for over 4 months. And on Tuesday, 25th of February at 6 p.m., we are having a closing event reception where we will have our objects on display and we will make a presentation and a panel discussion together with Orkan Telhan, a researcher from University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's where we aim to wrap up what we did throughout the last 4 months and also give our audience a sort of idea where we're heading next.
Yes.
So please join us for this discussion.
Roddy, you want to give the details of the reception is at 6?
The doors are at 6, and I think we're going to try to start at 6:30, and that's going to be happening at iBeam Space on West 21st Street in Manhattan. The address is 540. It's between 10th and 11th Avenue in Manhattan.
And folks can go to iBeam.org for more information.
Sure.
On your mobile phone or your computer device or whatever you're looking at these days. Then you guys tell us what is knitted radio and how did it come to iBeam?
Knitted radio arose from a research that we've been doing about creating electronic objects and electronic components from scratch using textile technologies and conductive and non-conductive material. It's an experimentation that we've been doing before, and we applied to this residency with a project called Knitted Radio. What we are aiming at, or what we did, was we knitted a radio sweater, a sweater that is knitted with conductive material like copper wire and non-conductive material like wool. And the sweater also functions as a radio transmitter. So the person, the wearer of the sweater, could plug their iPhone, iPod, recorded voice message, and could transmit this information in public space, basically.
And what made you think of, why did you want to have a sweater transmit?
Actually, it's two research projects merging in one idea. One of them is our excitement about patterns and knitting and textiles and trying to produce an alternative way of producing the electronic object to make in the production of electronics. And the other idea is about all this Occupy movement happening, and Occupy tactic as a tactic was interesting to us. And we thought radio as a free communication tool could be a way to occupy electronic public space, where someone could transmit a personal message freely, and another person could just hear that message if they wanted to. So it's more about using the electronic microspace around the body for personal purposes and personal messages, as opposed to commercial or governmental messages, let's say.
It actually reminds me of an iBeam project from a group called Neurotransmitter about 15 years ago. They did a backpack version, and you're making it more incognito, and a backpack
and
is
stylish.
And well, yes, and a backpack now is a target in many ways at protests for an excuse to pull someone aside or search them or something. And everyone now can wear a sweater at this point.
Yes. Also, we are very much learning from local crafting techniques in Turkey, because we were inspired by the latest Gezi protests in Istanbul, and we are very interested in the local crafting techniques, the patterns, the symbolic meanings of patterns, and integrating that into the object too. So the object is developing in many layers. There is this cultural story, there is the story of the maker, there is the story of the radio. So we are developing the project at many levels at once.
Can you tell our American audiences a little about the protests in Turkey and what the issues are, just quickly?
It started last June. It happened all in Taksim Square. There is a small park, which is the only park in the environment. And as this park was intended to be transformed into a shopping mall, people got sensitive about the issue and started protesting against this. Then the events got larger with a bit of... it became a kind of a challenge for people to be in that square because of the history of the square and the history of demonstration in the square. So it got a bit heated up, and then it turned into a really huge protest all over the country. And Taksim Square is a square that many people can be at the same time. But if they start to protest and demonstrate against an idea, they become... targets in a way. So we thought of like a more multi-vocal environment in such a square, in such a public square where people can transmit their messages silently and could create multiplicity of voices in the square. So, yeah.
How were people transmitting messages at the time? Were the protests being fueled by text messages or blog posts?
Yeah, it was a lot of it was happening on social media too, like Twitter, and because there was a harsh police attention on the square, and like people were like commenting on where they can get out of the square, which way is the safest way to get out, which way is the safest way to go home. You know, people were sharing these messages online. And as I'm based in Vienna, Austria, I was watching all these stuff. We were watching these stuff online, what's happening there. And of course, you know, social media is great and everything, but it's like there is data retention. People watch social media. It's recorded and it's not free. So it kind of inspired this idea of a free radio network among people who are sharing an environment together. So the limitedness of radio becomes kind of the advantage of the medium too. Because when you communicate with someone, you know that the person is in a limited environment with you. You shares the same radius if it's a small micro radio. So that's kind of one of the inspirations.
And so you you brought this idea to iBeam, or where was it when you came to iBeam?
Well, iBeam has this biannual, I think it is. No, not biannual, like twice a year.
Yeah.
This called residencies, but probably Rory can like elaborate
sure,
on
sure,
that.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah. The project came to us through our open call for residencies, and it is twice a year. So every 6 months we make a call for project proposals, and then we can offer $5,000 over a 5-month period to develop the project. And that, in addition to the grant money, there's also opportunities for public programs, presentations, whether it be through exhibition or public talks. For example, what's happening Tuesday night with Ebru and Irene, as well as we recently showed the work as part of our annual showcase in January as well. And so it's, you know, completely in line with iBeam's history, as you mentioned, of supporting projects like by neurotransmitter or other sort of kind of disruptive mesh network projects, even through the work of Sarah Grant. And there's certainly, you know, directly in line with the kind of work that we like to support. So we saw this proposal, and it made perfect sense, and we couldn't be happier with what they've developed in the end.
Yeah, we are also very happy to be here. It's an amazing network, amazing people especially. Of course, the workspace is great too. And it's been very beneficial for us, actually.
I think one of the really great things for us here is to, like, through public events like the annual showcase and like the event we'll have on Tuesday, have the possibility to exchange with other people about our ideas and our processes and projects, which is like, and we here definitely get different feedbacks than we get on back home or in other places in the world. So we really enjoyed like having the possibility to expose our work in such a diverse and international context as IBM is.
What have been people's reaction to the knitted sweater transmitter?
Well, we had a lot of different reactions, I would say. I mean, it very much depends what background people brought to seeing the project, I guess. Like, there were a lot of people who have some personal connection to knitting and knitting processes and knitting techniques that, like, picked on that part of the project. Like, how comes that you, like, knit electronic components? Then there were people who were more interested in the political aspect of it, like having this hidden, potentially subversive means of communication and what that might bring to society or to individuals. There were, like, a lot of intense and interesting discussions evolving around this topic, like spanning all these different inspiration aspects we draw from. I don't know, is there anything?
No, it was great.
I was just going to add too that, I mean, that's such a, you know, really good example of the kind of perfect nexus of different approaches that IBM likes to support, like projects that can have, you know, a clear kind of art meaning, as well as something that has a social impact, and that is, you know, creating basically kind of a new platform using technology. That's right, you know, sort of right at the sweet spot of what IBM likes to support.
I don't know if you considered this when you were doing it, but I guess some transmission projects before that have done clothing have more been about blocking waves from the body. Yeah, you know, there's been some tinfoil hat projects, mm-hmm. and Faraday suits,
yes.
And things like that. Counterintuitive, or did you like that you were playing off of that kind of the cliche of the medium?
No, actually, the way we thought was like, you know, the body has actually kind of different types of radiuses around different types of body extensions. Let's call it like there is body odor, or there is like brainwave, or there are lots of things you can detect about a person from different distances. And we thought of radio to be a part of the body's radiuses. One of the radiuses could be radio. I think it resonates more with this tactic of occupying something. So therefore it's totally the opposite of blocking it. You're just occupying whatever there is, or overlaying your own information on top of whatever exists. So it's in a way blocking, but like through occupation.
Is it, can you give us a little technical, is it a giant antenna that you're one giant strand, or how does it work technically?
But on a very technical level, we took an electronic circuit for the so-called simplest radio transmitter from Tetsuo Kogawa. And we tried to translate step by step all the electronic elements that are included in the circuit into textile patterns, like into knitted patterns that we could reproduce in using conductive and resistive materials. And we right now are at the level where we can reproduce the resistors included in that circuit, the capacitors included in that circuit, and the coil included in that circuit, that all together with the transistor form this radio transmitter. We're not there yet to reproduce the transistor yet, but we're looking forward to continue the research in the field. So that's like on a very technical level what we did. We were like step by step reproducing these elements. Like there's, I think, three resistors, four capacitors, there's a coil that form up this circuit that allows you to transmit on a short range your own plucked in audio signal. And that's what we did. That's what we distributed within the pattern and throughout the layout of the sweater we knitted. We did not knit the battery either. And
I was going to ask, is it solar? It's not solar or battery?
It's a normal 9-volt block battery for now. I mean,
so the idea was to just like, once you dismantle the battery and audio source, and if you would the transistor, then you have an ordinary sweater which only has like some copper wires knitted in, which cannot be identified as an electronic object. But once you add the battery and audio source and stuff, it becomes a transmitter. So that's kind of the imagination we have in our heads, that it's a very ordinary and casual thing, and then suddenly it's a part of a system, an electronic transmission system.
Yeah, what a sweater basically is, it's like a collection of different patterns that through their form of being a pattern also hold the electronic function within the fabric of the sweater. It's not like tiny little components put onto the sweater, it's like directly within the fabric of the sweater that the function is.
It's very difficult to explain without visual CR stuff on display, so I think that would be the best way to see actually the thing functioning.
Isn't there a book, We Dream of Electric Sheep or something?
There was, yeah.
I would just add too that, like, I mean, the sweaters themselves are just, you know, they, if you were to see them, they simply just look like sweaters. Like, I don't even know that you would get the sense of there being electronics housed in them, which I think is one of the really amazing things about the work they've done.
Yes, and we try to avoid soldering and any electronic, you know, radio, producing a radio transmitter basically is an electronic hobbyist's first experiment. And we thought of a textile electronic hobbyist's first experiment, creating a radio without soldering, but using knitting, using crochet, beading techniques. We are learning ourselves very traditional crafting techniques to be able to create this. So it's also about the audience we involve is a different type of audience, a different type of crafting skill set. So that's quite exciting to us. Also,
have you considered the possible performative aspects of, say, 15 dancers with radio transmitter sweaters dancing to sound they were maybe creating by their dance? Have you thought about the possibilities of some sort of mass performance of these things? Or
no, but we thought about the possibility to insert it in public space and see how, you know, it is in its own natural environment or how it functions and what happens. But no, not a stage performance.
It's more of occupying a public space somewhere in and sort of
we
surprising.
Would love to. Yeah, also we would love to, like our output will be hopefully a pattern that we share with people. So we will just publish this and we will see if anyone is interested in reproducing it. We would love to work with knitting circles, create different types of sweaters for different types of people together with people, see where that goes. Staging a performance ourselves was not really our interest, but we would love to stage environments where we can, you know, see this in its own environment in a way, produced by real people for real people.
All right. And again, tell us about Tuesday is the talk.
Yeah. Is it going to be rescinding? Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Roddy, please.
I was just going to say, no, they're going to be, it will be a talk and there'll be a presentation of the works on display as well. And it's really kind of the culmination of the last 5 or so months that they've been working at iBeam. So it's a really good opportunity to see the work in its current state and also learn more about the progress they've made. And I think also what's intriguing is just to learn more about the process, which has been very interesting. There's been so much. They've both really built in a very free experimentation time into their process. And I think I'm hoping that they'll talk a lot about the process of just experimenting and just giving themselves the time and the space to just try all these different technologies and what
exactly.
That's some of the outcomes of that way of thinking too.
Exactly. It has been a lot of experimentation, a lot of failure, and we are very happy to have the luxury, have had the luxury also to experiment in that way without stressing ourselves about a concrete outcome. Just experimentation time with electronics and textiles. We will have them all on display. So, yeah, we'd love to share that experience too. Definitely.
All right, we're talking to Abreu Kubrick and Irene Posh from they're putting on together the Knitted Radio Project during their residency currently at iBeam, and we're also talking to Roddy Schrock, the Director of Residencies and Programs at iBeam, and you can go to iBeam.org for more information about the talk on Tuesday and the project. Do you want to give out some? You have artist websites or any other places people could go for information?
They should be linked on iBeam website, actually. That's probably the easiest way to find us.
Yeah, if you just go to iBeam.org, then just, I think it's current events. You'll see it listed there. And you could, you know, I think from there
you can
links to their, to project page and everything.
And while we've got you, what's coming up at iBeam next? Or is anything special coming
well,
up?
Well, after that, we're going to be holding what we're calling Second Sight. It's a small exhibition of new approaches to video art. It's in conjunction with a moving image fair, which is a biennial of new video art projects organized by Winkleman Gallery in New York. So we're going to be featuring five iBeam artists at iBeam as part of that moving image fair. And that's going to be up from March 6th through March 9th. So it's a short exhibit, but it's going to feature some amazing, really creative new works, one of which is using the Oculus Rift, which is a 3D viewing mechanism. And there'll be works by Wyatt Niehaus and Jonathan Menard, Julia Christensen, amongst others. But that's the next event that will be happening, and we hope everyone will come by and check that out as well.
And Abreu and Irene, you want to tell us where you're off to next?
We are based in Vienna, Austria. We actually just received a research grant, an artistic research grant, to be working on this textile macroelectronics idea for 2.5 years at the Applied Arts University in Vienna. So if you reach us through the websites, you can, you know, keep yourselves updated about the next project, which will be hopefully very exciting too.
Please just come to, like, give us a, like, send us an email if you're interested in that field. Like, we will continue working in the area. We'd like to hear from whoever is out there and hears what we're talking about right now. It feels like there's something that can contribute.
The research grant that they received in Austria, by the way, is a very major prize, and they're being quite humble in the way that they're talking about it. They should be quite proud.
All right.
We are too happy.
Well, we are proud to have you guys all on today. Thank you for Skyping in, and remind everybody that the talk is at iBeam this Tuesday, 6:30. You said it's going to start?
I think doors at 6, and then we'll start at 6:30.
All right. Well, we are listening to now Weave from Threads from the David S. Ware Quartet, and I've got you guys on the same computer as that, so we'll have to say goodbye this way. So thanks again for stopping in on the Saturday afternoon show on WJXC from Wave Farm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.